Morning, everyone. All right. I'm Lisa Ruby. Welcome to Blue Ocean Church. I'm happy to see all of you here. If you're new, we're happy to have you. If you've been here before, it's great to see you again. And I'm happy to be preaching again here this morning. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about the leadership style of Jesus. So maybe we could call that, it's better to get it right than to be right. So there's some scripture that's in your notes there. I'm going to get to a little bit later. So lately, I've been thinking a lot about leadership styles. I kind of think about them in general in life. But more recently, I applied for a new position in the entity where I work. And so I'm an attorney. I work for a nonprofit law firm. I've worked in the same position, if you can believe it, for 24 years. I've worked for the same employer since 1992, my entire legal career. But I applied for a new job. I'm trying to, you know, stretch myself a little bit and give myself a challenge. But I haven't gotten an interview yet, so in case you're wondering, what happened with the application? No interview yet. I mean, I assume I'll get a courtesy interview, minimally, I hope. But as I'm thinking about this, I'm a little bit nervous about what the interview is going to look like because part of the job description is supervision. And I've never really supervised anybody before. And so as I think about that, I've been wondering like what they might ask me and what I should be thinking about. Now, I do have experience being in charge of things and in charge of other people. I lead a book club here at church and I'm the board president. I have a tendency, people who know me won't be surprised by this, to take things over. I can get a little impatient if things aren't going the way I want it to, they're not moving at the pace, I want to make a little change, and so I have a big personality, and I feel comfortable, maybe more so than some other people, telling others what to do, right? I'm a lawyer, I can be persuasive, but I imagine this is not the optimal way in which to lead people, and so I'm recognizing that in myself, I'm trying to be more self-aware and then be more deliberate in my actions, not just to do things because I can, but to think about, like, what's the goal? Why am I doing the thing that I'm doing as opposed to just, I'm wanting to get to that thing there, and so I'm going to go that way. So as I've been thinking about leadership, doing a little research and a little reading, you can imagine there's no lack of information about leadership styles. So there's autocratic, democratic, coaching, transformational, bureaucratic, visionary, and I'm sure there's more. And so this is all a little bit overwhelming. And when you think about it, these leadership styles can be applied anywhere in life. So it can be you're thinking about leadership at work, but maybe you're thinking about it in your community, at church, at home. There are a lot of places that we can lead. And so before I talk about it a little bit more, I want to give you guys an opportunity to think about what does that mean to you? What does leadership mean to you? What does it mean to lead people? So I'm going to take a pause, and I'm actually going to count to 10 to give you guys a chance to think in your head, when I think about leadership, what does that mean? And just giving you some prompts, it could mean influencing others, guiding others, helping people meet their potential, getting people to do what you want them to do. So let's just think about that for 10 seconds. Okay. So now, whatever definition you have in your mind, I want you to think of someone in your life who has shown those skills to you, someone who you would consider a people leader, someone maybe who has influenced your life, impacted your life, helped you set goals for yourself, for your family, for your business. This could be in the workplace. It could be at home. It can be wherever you are, because there are leaders in every category, I would say, in life. And you might be surprised if someone else has you on their list. Of course, people can't read your minds, but I'm thinking that it's very possible that you're on someone else's list, and you might not be thinking of yourself as a leader, because like me, you're not the boss of anyone. I'm not the boss of anyone at work. My son is 30. I'm certainly not the boss of him anymore. Definitely, Lisa will tell you, I'm not the boss of her. But we can think about where we influence people in our lives. So many of you are parents. You have responsibilities that goes with that. And so let me offer this to you. We all have the ability to lead if we choose to. And so part of what I'm going to be talking about today is thinking about that. How do we influence other people and to try to be intentional when we do that? So influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone else. Now, whether we're aware of it or not, we are always influencing other people and they are influencing us. So our mood might change, or someone is rude to us, they don't open the door for us as we're going in a building. We can impact someone's mood if we just give them the smallest compliment. Oh, I like what you're wearing today. Or at work, you say, that was great, that comment you made in that meeting. I just never would have thought of that before. You really helped me out. And so we're all leading and influencing people. And so I want you to think about what kind of leader you can be. And this might be the first time. What kind of impact do you want to have around the people around you? So, as you may have guessed, there's a leader that we're all familiar with, and that's Jesus, or God. And so as we look to Jesus and the leadership style that he embodied, he has called it, and people have called it, servant leadership. And before I go any further, I want to acknowledge that the term servant is not the friendliest word to use in modern times, certainly as it pertains to women and people of color, but because it's the language that Jesus used, I'm going to use it today. But know that when I'm talking about it, you can think about humble leadership, conscious leadership, responsible leadership. But let me be clear, it does not mean blindly serving an individual or an entity and then calling it leadership. But I'm going to use that term today, but I hope it's not putting you off as I say that. So there's many places in the Bible where Jesus talks about being a servant or being humble. I was struck that we said the 23rd Psalm today when Rishi read that, because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is leading us as a shepherd does, as a humble shepherd. But we're going to look at Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, and the background, and it's on the back of your the bulletin, pack it if you have that. So the background of the scripture is that Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem. Now Jesus knows what's coming. He's going to be crucified. And he has just told his disciples, this is what's going to happen to me. And then what happens next? The mother of two of his disciples, the mother of James and John, comes up to him and says, hey, I want my sons to be your number one and number two, which seems like a little not reading the room, like based on what Jesus just said to them. But let me read it to you. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at the left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered, clearly not knowing what was coming and who was going to be on Jesus' left and right at the crucifixion. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now, when the 10 heard about this, and the 10 meaning the other 10 disciples, they were indignant with the two brothers. So Jesus called everyone together, because everybody's griping and complaining, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercised authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let's unpack this a bit. Jesus is saying at least two things here. Just because you've been chosen as a disciple and you're part of his inner circle, don't act like you have more power or authority over other people. Like, I'm in with the cool kids, I'm better than you, I can tell you what to do. And that service is the only way to lead if you are following Jesus's teaching. He's telling his followers that Roman leadership style is not his way and not the way of his kingdom. And so it cannot be the way of his followers. Roman rule is based on absolute power over its subjects. Jesus is clear that's not the way of God. Roman rulers believed that they were more important than their subjects. Roman rulers saw themselves often as deities, and their subjects weren't really human beings. They didn't have any value. Jesus, on the other hand, taught his disciples that leadership in the kingdom of God requires humility and a willingness to submit to God and to serve others, because there is no hierarchy in God's kingdom. When Jesus makes this statement admonishing his disciples to not be like the Roman rulers, it is immediately after the brothers, John and James, have asked if they can sit on his right and left. They want to be like the top people in the new messianic kingdom, to have chief positions in his administration. And it's not surprising considering the society in which they live, because Roman rulers had money, power, and prestige. And the disciples and many followers of Jesus thought that the Messiah would overcome Rome by force and return Israel to where it was under the rule of King David. So their authority would be exercised through fear and might, but not by serving others as Jesus has come to serve. So it's clear Jesus is telling us serving others is a way of leading. But what does that look like? How does one engage in servant leadership? You're like, okay, I'm going to be serving, but I'm going to lead. How do I do that? Well, I think first makes sense to think about your motivation. Like, what is your why? Why are you going to serve? Is there a purpose? Is there something you want to achieve, whether it's at church, in your family, in your community, at your job? What is the vision that you have? So if you're raising children, you might want to raise children, well, according to your values, to achieve certain goals for yourself at work, at home, to make the world a better place. I mean, that sounds lofty, but really, I'm sure many people in this room, that's the goal. I want to make the world a better place, to bring God's kingdom down to earth. So let me give you an example. I lead a book club here at Blue Ocean. It's called Theology on Tap. It's been around for about 10 years. There's some book club members here today. And so I had to think about, as I was preparing the sermon, why do I lead book club? And I found that I didn't know. So I'm like, okay, I'm just leading book club. I inherited it from Kent. So I'm like, okay, why am I leading book club? And I thought about it, and I realized that my why in leading book club is to care for my book club members. And it should drive all of my decisions. And I will tell you, in the beginning, it didn't. I was like, I was the boss. I'm like, I'm picking the books. This is what we're going to read, and this is how it's going to go. And I didn't really think about how that impacted the other people in the book club. And now I think I've been realizing it subconsciously, but now that I can say it overtly, I'm more concerned with how the meetings are run than what is said there. I want people to be treated with respect. I don't want crosstalk. I want people to be heard, feel seen, and to feel loved when they're in that room. And so to me, that's more of a, I would say, we'll call it servant style leadership. Like my goal, my vision is for that room to feel like a little piece of God, for people to come together. But other people who might lead the book club would be like, no, I want them to learn theology. And we're going to learn about Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism and Hinduism. And we're going to have, you know, study guides. We're going to have questions. We're not going to go on tangents. We're going to stick to the questions of that session. And that could be that person's why. They want people to become educated. But that's not my why. And so it doesn't mean either way is right or wrong. It's just that we need to be clear as we go forward in the thing that we're leading. And so I think it might be helpful, as we talk about servant-based leadership, to look at what's called reward-based leadership. So Patrick Lencioni is someone who coined the phrase reward-based leadership in opposite to responsible-based leadership. And reward-based leaderships, they lead us because they are attracted to the power and the position and the material rewards that come with being a leader. Money, status, the ability to avoid unpleasant tasks. I'm not going to do it. You did it. Do it. I paid my dues. They believe their hard work has earned them that lofty position, and they can avoid it because it can just be delegated. And there's a disconnect between the leader and those that they're leading. And unless the leader is engaging with the people they're leading, they not necessarily buy into the vision of whatever that thing is, whether it's if it's at work, if it's at home. Are you helping with the chores? Are you just telling the kids what to do while you're I was thinking of a stereotype, but I'll avoid that. So we want the leader to be engaged and interested so that when they're not around, the people they're leading are still engaging in activities towards the mission to further the mission. Now, servant-based leadership, on the other hand, is responsibility-based. Servant leaders want those around them to look good. They don't hoard information, they don't sabotage ideas, and there's no ego. They don't find approval and power or glory, and their goal is not, they don't always have to be right. They have to get it right. And they find approval in a higher place, not from other individuals. Although that's always nice to get that from somebody else. But when we rely on others for approval, we're at the whim of those around us. We're at the whim of our bosses. Like, we work, and no one says, that was an amazing job, or gives you a promotion, or gives you a raise. That doesn't happen. As a parent, that can also be difficult if you're in a reward-based mindset, because you have influence over your kids and you read books on parenting and you try to be your best and be patient and kind with them, but the rewards you get from them, especially when they're younger, may be few and far between. And so you look to your higher power, which is not always easy. I raised a child. But you try to find that reward from within, the reason why you're raising children, to take forth your values into the world and hopefully influence the people around them. So that being said, the idea of being a servant leader might seem like a difficult concept to implement. Sometimes it's just easier to be the boss, to tell your kids to do it because you said so. And we all do that. We're tired, we're impatient. Just do it, just get out of my face. And you might feel bad about it later, but we all have those moments. Sometimes you want to take charge in a meeting because you're tired of everybody talking. Just move it along. This is not a democracy. And we've all been there, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, but you want it to go back to the why and the North Star of why you're doing, why are you doing what you're doing? Cutting off conversation and not being present will hurt your team, will hurt your family, will hurt your relationship. And if you're not managing people, they lose motivation. I know that sounds corporate, but even the same in one's family, children want to be parented, even when they don't seem like they want to be parented. We have to be there for them. We have to engage in conversation with our spouses. And so in this responsibility style of accommodating style of leadership, you have to be present and you have to listen to welcome conflict and to engage in vigorous discussions and make decisions based on those discussions. And not everyone will welcome those decisions because people are going to have a difference of opinion. But that doesn't mean you pass the buck. If you're choosing to lead, you still have to make the decision based on the good of whatever the thing is that you're leading. Maybe you have to move your family. You got a new job and you have to move your family and nobody wants to go, but you know that's going to be best for the family. And you have a family meeting, and in the end, the leader, or two parents, hopefully both leaders, will decide what to do that's best for the family. Now, I get some of you are listening and thinking, there is no way I'm engaging in this crunchy granola way of thinking. Bosses should act like bosses. Otherwise, things get confused. You have to respect the chain of command, whether at work or in the family. And if you're thinking like that, that's great. You're self-aware. But if you have a more assertive style of leadership, I have a more assertive style of leadership that fits your personality. I can argue good, and sometimes I just want to wear people down. I'm not saying I'm perfect at following this responsibility style of leadership. But even though I might get my way in that moment, it doesn't build team trust or create a safe space for vulnerability at work or in other relationships. And I struggle with that, and that's okay. Conflict makes me uncomfortable, but conflict leads to the truth. If you can hang in there, if you have friends who are social workers, they can hang in the conflict and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to talk about this. But it does get you where you need to go. So listening to this sermon, I hope you take some baby steps towards where you need to be in your leadership style and being more accommodating, more responsible. Let me give you some examples. So if you find yourself identifying more with the assertive style of leadership, you can make some new rules for yourself. Maybe in a work meeting or in your small group at home, you decide not to talk. Oh my God, is that hard? You're not going to talk, or you're going to wait till the end to talk, let everybody else talk, and probably other people will say the things you were going to say. Or you take notes. Just take notes. When you just want to say something, just write it down. And then at the end, maybe you'll contribute or you'll send out an email or talk to somebody not in the group. And if you're more of an accommodating leader and you feel like, man, I should step up more because I have the vision and this is my why and we're not getting there, but I don't really know how to do that, ask questions. I feel like this is a great way to assert yourself in like sort of a backhand kind of way. For example, where do you see possible weaknesses in this plan? Or what are possibilities that we haven't discussed? It's a way to further the conversation. It might feel less challenging for you. They're non-threatening ways of asserting yourself. Remember, leadership behavior can change from situation to situation. It is good to be an agile leader. Recognize your audience. You might be more assertive with your children or people you supervise, and less so with your parents or your partner or your bosses. Try to remember you're part of a team, and so you means you want to put the goals of the team ahead of your own. It doesn't mean you're never right. It doesn't mean you never get your way. It just means you consider the good of the group and how it's going to get you there. So I'm going to pivot just a little bit as we're getting near the end of my sermon. So prior to Caroline's sermon last week, Emily spent about 10 weeks talking about original blessing. It was a great sermon series, and I would encourage you to watch at least the last sermon where she summed it up. And when she summed it up, she said, Jesus came to show us how to lead a faithful life, to invite us into a new creation. He came to show us that God has been faithful to humankind. This is Jesus's why. He came to show us that God has been faithful to humankind by bringing love and by showing us that we can bring his kingdom down to earth. And so as we go into this next week, let's do our part to expand God's good realm on earth by being mindful of those we have influence over, by being present and engaging in leadership that brings us closer to God. Okay, so sermon is ending. Now we're going to enter into a time of meditation. So for people who haven't been here before, we take a little bit of meditation time, stretch your legs, sit in your seat. I suggest putting your feet flat on the floor. You don't have to. And during this time of meditation, after I give my little prompt, it'll take about 2 minutes. And so I invite you, think about your vision. Think about your why. It could be anywhere. It can be in church. It could be at home. It could be at your job. It can be just out in the world at large. It can be during this political season that we're in. What is your goal? What is your mission? Maybe it's being closer to God. What is the next step you're going to take? Think about that for the next couple of minutes. What is just one next step you're going to take? And it sort of dovetails into what Jim was saying in the announcements. We need people to volunteer. So if you want to get more involved in church, you want to be closer to God, you want to be more connected with your community, maybe that's your one next step, is to volunteer. So I'm gonna be quiet for about 2 minutes. So Lord, help us to lead by example. Help us to know the difference between carrying our team and lifting them up. Help us to be okay with being unknown. Help us to compromise our will for the greater good. And please allow that will to manifest and grow when we are no longer here. Amen.